If you love food, especially fresh, locally sourced food, you probably already have a Deborah Madison cookbook in your collection. She's an icon in American food culture, known for bringing vegetarian food into the mainstream and also for championing the farmers who grow it. Her latest book is called In My Kitchen. She's coming to Spearfish next week for the South Dakota Local Foods Conference. But first, she joins us on the phone from New Mexico. Chef, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Also with us today, Kim Brannon. She's president of the South Dakota Specialty Producers Association. She's joining us from Yankton. Hey, Kim, welcome.
Thank you, and good morning, Lori.
Chef, I want to start with you because you say in this your latest book that you began cooking when vegetarian food was weird. And I just love that. It made me smile. So much has changed. Tell us kind of what has changed in regards to finding the right ingredients, for example.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's true. There's been a lot of change, which is partly why I wrote this book the way I wrote it. We just have better ingredients. When I started cooking, you know, we didn't have, soy milk was this weird thing you found in some health food store, and, you know, you kind of had to know about it, and, you know, our oils and fats were very limited. We didn't have wonderful ghees and coconut oil and things like that. We didn't have many fresh vegetables that were interesting. I am from California, so, of course, we had fresh vegetables there, but we didn't. It was nothing like it is today. Farmers markets hadn't even begun yet.
The latest book is so beautiful. All your books are beautiful. This one is, you know, more intimate, more personal than others. How so?
Well, it's interesting you say that. Well, I started with, first of all, I was asked to write a book with a lot of narrative, to do basically a narrative cookbook. And so I got to write very long introductions to recipes that told the stories behind them. For example, at my restaurant in San Francisco, we did a dish called black bean chili, you know. And when I kind of looked over this recipe, I thought, why did we use black beans? There's so many beans. Oh, because that was the only exotic bean there was then, you know. So I tell that story. I tell a lot of stories, and it was fun to write a more personal, narrative-driven book, I must say.
So fun to read, too.
Thank you.
Kim Brannon, tell us a little bit about this conference. There's so much happening here. Give us some of the highlights.
This is going to be a great conference. It's actually our seventh annual local foods conference where we showcase local foods that are produced across the state. We have a chance to bring producers and resource people and people interested in eating good, local, healthy foods together. And the last couple years, we've had some great interaction and participation by professional chefs. And last year, the Culinary Academy at Mitchell Tech Institute. We have pre-conference sessions on Thursday with a whole range of more in-depth training. Is there like half day to full day sessions? There's a session on food safety, fruit growing in the upper Midwest or in the Great Plains area here, and some farm to school, working with SNAP, the supplemental nutrition program at farmers markets, and some other sessions that really let you dig into the topic in a little more detail. Then our regular conference on Friday and Saturday has actually four tracks. We've really expanded that, and we have topics on production, on marketing products, on developing new products, food safety, and even the business of being in business, which sometimes we don't really think about in food production. There's going to be a tremendous social on Friday evening, and we're showcasing Black Hills area professional chefs who are using locally produced foods to make some amazing appetizers. It just makes my mouth water to read the menu descriptions.
Right.
And, you know, so we're celebrating South Dakota products, and that also includes specialty ingredients that go into beverages, such as South Dakota wines and South Dakota craft beers. So part of the social will be sampling wines from a couple of our wineries out there and a couple of local breweries. And then there'll also be some very tasty non-alcoholic beverages for those who want to try something else. We're a great group of partners who work across the state during the year to put this conference together, and we're really excited to also offer special rates to students so that we can really engage the young people into what's involved in production, all the resource people we have available to work with you and to help you support and build your businesses. That's in a nutshell, that's kind of what's going on there.
Chef Madison, what are you looking forward to eating when you come to South Dakota?
Well, it's interesting. I loved Kim's description of
right?
what we're going
I'm hungry
to experience because I haven't really been privy to this, and I can't wait to try it. I just want to try foods that really somehow say South Dakota, because to me it's a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah,
South
right.
Dakota, you know, and I always find it interesting that so many people, when I mention South Dakota, say, oh, I've always wanted to go there, like it's Paris or something.
You know? Right.
and I'm a little bit in that, too, except that I have been to South Dakota once, and I'm looking forward to going again. What I'm looking forward to eating, I think I'm just going to have to open myself up to what's there. I really want to eat food that is local and, you know, indigenous food, whether it's to the indigenous peoples or to people who've been there for a long time, the sons and daughters of the immigrants who originally came, your local wines. There's just so much, you know. In fact, my husband and I decided to leave a day early so we could have a chance to try things out.
Kim, I think I love what you just said about just opening yourself up to what's there, because when she said it, you know, that food can be kind of a mystery, that story is a mystery. I think there are a lot of South Dakotans who would say the same thing. If you ask them, what do you look forward to eating in your home state that really speaks to South Dakota, a lot of people wouldn't know that because they're not thinking about, you know, what they're eating as much as maybe they could, that relationship.
Right. But, you know, what's interesting is we're seeing so many different fruits and vegetables available at farmers markets, which is how a lot of people get exposed to local foods.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're doing is helping chefs see what's available. You know, it's a communication process. You know, you have to have somebody explain to you what's out there and how cool it is, and here's a sample, and try this. And you get the chefs excited, and then, you know, and that can be at institutions, it can be at restaurants, it can be at your local cafe, but there's these products available for everybody to use. And one of the cool things that happened at the State Fair this year, we have for a couple years worked in conjunction with a partner with the South Dakota Value-Added Ag Development Group, and we had the chef and five students from the Michetelt Culinary Academy come out, and one of the fruits that they used in one of the demos they did, most people at the state fair who were there hadn't seen them before. They're little tiger melons. Mm-hmm. They're grown right here over in Mission Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always an eye-opening, kind of exciting thing. You know, you find something new, and then you want to figure out what you want to do with it. And I'm just so excited about the foods also being like an agritourism piece, so that, like Chef Madison was saying, you come to South Dakota, what do you want to eat? Well, here's our showcase. I know tour we had this summer out in Custer at one of the local restaurants there, we went and had goat burgers made from goat meat from one of the producers out there. And it was just really neat to say, okay, this was raised less than 10 miles away, and it was delicious, and it exposes people to new things.
Chef Madison, I had a mushroom burger in Custer that was extraordinary, not too long ago. Custer's got a little food culture there if you come at the right time.
Well, yeah, we're probably coming at the wrong time, but
right, exactly.
We'll do our best. Actually, that's interesting about the goat, because goats become popular here, too, particularly at one of our restaurants. It's owned by a man from Kenya who's been here for about 20 years, and he makes a lot of goats. Stews that are very good, very healthful, very lean, and good.
Chef, what's your cooking life like today?
Oh my gosh, it's just all over the map. I still go to the farmer's market. Our market is year round, and I am there every Saturday or Tuesday or both days. So I'm eating a lot of produce from the farmer's market. I am on the board of the Southwest Grass-Fed Livestock Alliance, so occasionally I have grass-fed beef and grass-fed this and that and the other thing in my freezer or my refrigerator that we eat, and then we go through long periods where we don't eat it at all. So it's a little bit all over the map. I'm not quite sure how to answer your question, but but it's very plant-centric. And I did recently just have some spelt from South Dakota that I milled and I've been making it into a wonderful Moroccan bread that's seasoned with a lot of aniseeds, and that has been going into a lot of our meals.
Kim, any final thoughts on how people can join in this conference, participated in at this point?
Sure. There's a link to our registration site on Facebook at South Dakota Local Foods. Those are all spelled out. Mm-hmm. Or our association Facebook site, which is just SDSPA, for South Dakota Specialty Producers Association. And then also there's a link on our website, sdspecialtyproducers.org. And I'd encourage people to register this week so that we can get an accurate food count to the catering staff out there at the Spearfish Holiday and Convention Center next week, so everybody will be able to sample these delicious local foods. And it's interesting, Chef Madison, you said about the Moroccan bread made with spelt, because one of our vendors there will have small grain mills now, and they're also growing ancient grains and going to talk about how to get into growing it.
Oh,
we need more growers. Yeah, we need more specialty foods producers, both plant-based and, the small meat and poultry. And that way we could better meet our market needs.
Chef Madison, we'll close with this, because this morning, I spent time with your book yesterday and was reading the narratives and enjoying the photography and planning what I was going to cook, and had to make brownies for my daughter, for an event, your typical out-of-the-box brownies, send them to school. And I'm standing over the cooling brownies, and I'm taking some bites, and I'm like, the edges are a little crunchy, the inside's a little mushy, what should I do differently? And she comes out in the kitchen, and she's just like, brownies, and she just digs in. And I'm reminded of this thing you say about don't apologize when you cook something and serve people that you love, because they experience it in a different way than you do as the person who made it. And I just laughed out loud, because here it was a box of brownies, probably not what you had in mind.
that's interesting. I'm glad you shared that.
But I closed my mouth and I said, just let her enjoy the chocolatey goodness.
Sure.
So why should people not apologize?
Well, I think for that reason, because first of all, we're not always the best judge. We've been intimate with a dish for maybe a couple of hours, maybe longer, maybe less, but we're sort of saturated with it, so we don't come to it fresh the way somebody else does. And they may have a very different experience, and it may in fact be good. We don't really know. But if you apologize all over the place and somebody actually liked what you made, then you run the risk of making them feel badly.
Right.
Or feel stupid, or, oh, dumb me, here I thought this soup was, smoked
good.
And it was burnt. there are always fine lines, and you don't want to hurt people's feelings and make them feel terrible, or dumb. So, I think apologizing can do that, but I have to say, this is the hardest lesson for me to learn.
Yeah.
Because we're always very critical of what we make, and we feel it could be better.
It's a beautiful book, and it gave me a beautiful moment with my daughter over some brownies. So I appreciate that, and we'll have many more. She is vegetarian, so we'll have many, many more moments with that book in our household. So thank you so much, Chef Deborah Madison, her new book, In My Kitchen. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
And Kim Brannon, president of the South Dakota Specialty Producers Association, thanks for being here as well.
You're welcome, and thanks for the opportunity to share the word and the excitement about South Dakota's local foods.